our lives and possibly saved our lives. Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
I'm Victor Arvidsson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Matt Duchene of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
Hi, this is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators.
Welcome to Smashville.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. And against all better judgment, this is Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves their soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all-skate throughout the NHL with all the scores, highlights, news, and more.
But you need to dig in right now, every guy.
I want to see people rip their heart out of their f***ing chest this period.
Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
Now, here's your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier.
Nation Radio, the Preds of Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio on a Preds game day in Las Vegas. That's right, we don't just do home game days anymore. That's years ago. That's way in the past now. We are doing each and every game day live at 5 a.m. right here on Nashville Sports Radio. The WNSR app, free for you to download. You can listen to us anywhere in the universe, even out there in Vegas. WNSR.com, of course, is streaming live. And for those of you up this morning, even if it's just because you're experiencing back pain and couldn't sleep, welcome in, Renegades of Puck. Wishing you well today. Brian, hope you have a good day. You crunch numbers like no one else out there, and I appreciate each and every one of you Renegades of Puck. Me, I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier, better known as the Canary in the Hockey Coal Mine, and I am here before the sun rises, better than a cup of coffee or anything you can buy in a can to get you up, fired up, and ready. After all, people, we gotta sustain. Renegades, this is no easy battle. It's a late night tonight in Vegas, and your Nashville Predators are on the road looking to pick up two critical points. It will, of course, be a huge game. The Renegades of Puck will be here to talk about it, and you and I will spend the next hard 60 minutes together making it happen. The Nashville Predators currently sit in fourth place in the Central Division. After five games played, they are 3-2 on the road. Unfortunately, after only one game, they are 0-1. They have scored 23 goals on the season. That is an impressive number through just five games. They are keeping pace with teams that have played in a couple of more games as far as goals are concerned. The Vegas Golden Knights are currently sitting in second place in the Pacific Division, off to a really good start to the season. After six games, they are 4-2 at home. They are 2-1, and they've scored 24 goals in the season while only giving up 14. So offensively, when you look at the Western Conference, the Vegas Golden Knights are tied with Winnipeg at tops for goals scored at 24. The Preds one behind at 23. But when you look at the goals against category, the Vegas Golden Knights only giving up 14 so far, while the Preds have given up 21. So impressive efforts so far to start the season by the Vegas Golden Knights. We go back, we look at their previous five. On the 4th of October, a 5-1 win at San Jose, and then it was a 4-3 loss versus the Boston Bruins, followed up by a 4-1 loss at Arizona. So, Vegas can be beaten, but since those back-to-back losses, they have ripped off a 6-2 win versus Calgary and a 5-2 win at LA, catching Los Angeles on the second of back-to-backs after, of course, the Preds were there for their home opener just the other night. Thursday will be the next time Vegas is on the ice, and they will have a home game versus Ottawa, so no reason to hold back tonight. They are rested, and they have a day off, and they'll host the next opponent at home. The NHL ranks for the Vegas Golden Knights. Their power play, it's clicking at 30%. Their penalty kill is 95.5%. percent. When you look at goals for 4.0, goals against 2.33, and they are putting up a lot of shots on net, 33.7 shots on net, and they're only giving up 32.3 per game. So for the Nashville Predators, it's going to be more about quality shots because they've been able to pile up shots in a couple of these games, and they've not come out with the victories, and we saw a lot of that last year. It was a bit of an issue throughout the season. For the Preds and the Vegas Golden Knights, it's the first of three regular season meetings. The next one will come on the 27th of November when Vegas will come here to visit Bridgestone Arena for the first of two, and then in February, we will see them on the first here again at Bridgestone Arena. For the Nashville Predators, after their first road game of the year in Los Angeles, they are in Vegas tonight. They'll close out the three-game road trip in Arizona on Thursday night, and then come on back home and host three opponents over the course of a week: Florida, Anaheim, and Minnesota. They'll end the month 10-26, going out to Tampa Bay and starting another quick road trip. For the Preds, the numbers: shots for 33.8 per game. I do like that number. You got to stay above 30 shots on goal per game if you want to find any sort of success in the NHL. That is, of course, Brandon Felder's magic number for all Renegades of Puck: 10 shots per period, 30 shots per game minimum, or else you're going to find yourself on the losing end of things more often than not. Shots against, the Preds are giving up 30.2 per game. The power play at 23.5% and finding early season success. There is no doubt Matt Duchene's addition to this team has made the Nashville Predators power play a whole hell of a lot better, but it does help that they have deployed a new strategy, and it also does help that they have gone ahead and brought in an assistant coach that can actually possibly help out and get things done, because we all know Kevin McCarthy just wasn't making anything happen. The penalty kills at 71.4%. Goals for 4.6 per game. That is an impressive number. I highly doubt that the Preds will be able to maintain that level of offense throughout the season, but it has been a very, very nice start. Goals against, 4.20. Nashville Predators are in Vegas tonight to take on the Golden Knights, first of three regular season meetings, and of course, that means dealing with Mark Stone. He is leading the Vegas Golden Knights in scoring, 4 goals and 5 assists, 9 points already in 6 games. Pacioretty's got 6 assists and 8 total points. Carlson's got 6 assists, and that's all, 6 total points. And then Theodore on the D side of things, 1 goal and 4 assists for 5 points. No matter where you look, you're seeing Golden Knights picking up points very early on the season. It is impressive so far to see what they have accomplished. In the goaltending side of things for Vegas, Marc-Andre Fleury, he has started 6 games this season. He's 4-1. He has a 2.13 goals against average and a .933 save percentage. Malcolm Subban actually is listed as day-to-day right now. He has played in 1 game this season. The number's not even worth talking about. Also, Cody Eakin, center for Vegas, he is on injured reserve, will not be playing tonight. For the Nashville Predators, a quick look inside the numbers. Matt Duchene, of course, leading the team in scoring. 2 goals now on the season, 7 assists, and that's good for 9 points. I don't know what's wrong with him. He's was averaging 2 points per game, and I totally expected that that was going to maintain the whole season. So now through 5 games, only 9 points. I mean, ridiculous signing this guy. Big free agent contract. Philip Forsberg's got 4 goals in the season in just 5 games, and we know consistency and health the key for Forsberg to become that 40-goal scorer that we know he can be, and even possibly challenge and push for the total points record for a single season here in Nashville. Forsberg, the last couple of seasons, it had taken 30 games to get over the 3-goal mark. So this is a great early season indicator, and no doubt he is clicking with Matt Duchene and Granlund so far on the season. Forsberg has 7 total points. Ryan Johansson also has 7 points. 5 of those are assists. Josi with 2 goals and 3 assists for 5 points. Ellis right there with him at 5. Ekholm also with 5. So 3 of your top 4 defensemen are at 5 points right now. The goaltenders, Pekka Rinne's 3-0 on the year, and he'll get the start tonight in Vegas. He's got an .894 save percentage. That doesn't look so good, but really not telling the story of how he's been playing. He's been competing very well. He's been making the big saves when absolutely necessary, and so far the Nashville Predators just look like a much different and much better team with Pekka Rinne on the ice as opposed to UC Saros, who is now 0-2 on the season with a 5.1 goals against average and an .844 save percentage. UC Saros has had these dips and struggles before, early in the season especially, but this is incredibly glaring to this point when you look and see that the Nashville Predators have 2 losses on the season, and both of them are to the backup goaltender, and he's given up at least 5 both times. Let's go in and talk about that game, the first road game of the year for the Nashville Predators in Los Angeles. It was Saturday. It was an earlier start. And hockey gods, why couldn't you reverse the start times? Why couldn't we have the 5-6 o'clock start today out west and the late game on Saturday? You know, some of us got to get up early and do these things like host radio shows. So I'm just saying, why couldn't you hook us up with that? West Coast start times, always tough for a lot of people. But let's go check out the line combinations. It looks a lot like it did the previous game. Yarncroke gets another crack at the first line opportunity with Johansson and Arvidsson as they still have not come up with a long-term solution. But after one game, Yarncroke did look good and he did perform well there. Forsberg, Duchesne, and Granlund have been stellar since the puck drop on the season. Sissons, Bonino, and Watson make up your third line. Carr gets another shot with Grimaldi being day-to-day. Turris and Smith, that rounds out your fourth line. Josi and Ellis, Ekholm and Fabro, Ham Hughes back into the lineup for Matt Irwin and Yannick Weber on the ice. UC Saros gets the start in net as we had anticipated in Los Angeles for the first road game of the season. 2:59 into the first period, UC Saros has got to make a save on Brown. First shot on goal for the game as the teams were feeling each other out. And then after this, the Preds just started buzzing for the next 2 minutes. It was highly impressive to see the top units for the Preds just go out there and work cosmic hockey magic around the offensive zone. And Granlund just steps off the half wall. Nobody challenges, so why not? Every NHLer's got a good shot when you just let him stand there and look at the net. He puts it bar down, no problem whatsoever. That's a snipe and a 1-0 lead for the Nashville Predators. 4:55 into the first period in Los Angeles. At 5:31, Ham Hughes is going to the box. 2 minutes for hooking. UC Saros has to come up with a huge save on Carter from the slot. Four shots on goal for LA, and they've got some good pressure. As a matter of fact, that good pressure would continue post-power play. LA would start dominating. At 8:47, Amadio gets his second of the season. UC Saros was able to get a leg on it, but he can't keep it from going over the goal line. A trickler ties the game up at one apiece. At 9:47, Clifford hits the post, and LA suddenly with seven shots on goal after the Preds looked good in the first few minutes. The Preds only have two shots on goal midway through the first period. At 11:14, Anze Kopitar is second of the season. Brown and Kopitar give and go. Forsberg was out of the play all the way back down the ice in the offensive zone. His stick was knocked out of his hands during battle for the puck, but what happened next is really the controversial part. Clearly, the Kings player kicked Forsberg's stick from the blue line down into the corner. At this point, Philip Forsberg should not have chased that stick. Should it have been an unsportsmanlike penalty for kicking his stick? Yes, it should have been. But when that penalty wasn't going to be called, Philip Forsberg should have disengaged with chasing a stick all the way down to the corner, skated by his bench, which he was on that wall, and grabbed another stick or jumped on the bench for a change, because the Kings end up with an odd situation getting into the offensive zone, and they have now taken a 2-1 lead. A bit of a mess out there in the first period. 15:37, Kovalchuk's going to the box. 2 minutes for holding. UC Saros has to come up with a big save on Carter off of the rush. Another shorthanded scoring opportunity against the Nashville Predators. They generate zero shots on goal. And frankly, it was too cute with the passing out there on this setup. LA at the end of the first period, a 2-1 lead after falling behind by a goal and out shooting the Preds 13-4. 3:13 into the second period, Campbell's got to make a save on Granlund's wrist shot. The Preds, well, they've been outworked since scoring that first goal. We're now looking at 20 straight minutes of LA dominating out there on the ice. At 6:05, UC Saros makes a save on Clifford with some jam on the doorstep. It was a desperation save as LA has now hit the 20 shots on goal mark. At 6:53, Clifford gets rewarded with that jam by making it work again. He picks up the goal. Sissons creates the turnover against, and then there's a shot from out high, and it is tipped by Clifford on the doorstep, and LA suddenly with a 3-1 lead in their home opener. At 10:30 of the second, Walker's going to the box. 2 minutes for tripping. The Preds do get three shots on goal and some decent zone time, but they are unable to convert. At 14:40, UC Saros makes a big save. Preds under siege yet again. again at 15-09. Ham Hughes is going to the box. 2 minutes for holding, but then Martinez is picking up a penalty shortly after for slashing. It's 4-on-4 for a minute and 41 seconds. The reason that that penalty was drawn was Nick Bonino. He takes the puck and goes on the rush. Excellent job. Excellent jam on the penalty kill right there, and he forces the 4-on-4 scenario. Preds end up with a power play for 19 seconds. Josi does get an outstanding scoring chance on this very limited amount of power play time. At 18-12, Kovalchuk's got his second of the season. It's another situation where the Preds cannot clear the puck out of their defensive zone, and they turn the puck over, and it was an easy finish for Ilya Kovalchuk. And now LA has a 4-1 lead with Anze Kopitar hitting the post at 19:09. We go to the second intermission. LA now 29 shots on goal. The Nashville Predators 12 shots on goal. And frankly, it's been approximately 35 minutes since I've seen the Nashville Predators out there on the ice in Los Angeles. I'm telling you, if the start time was later, perhaps a different result here. But for the Nashville Predators going into the third period, it's simple. You're down by three. Go out there, skate your asses off, and do the best you can. At 1:18, Victor Arvidsson, well, he's the embodiment of everything I just said, and that's why he's got his third goal of the season. It was Johansson with the jam. He keeps that puck alive, and Arvidsson gets the trickler while falling down. Again, it doesn't matter how it gets to the back of the net. It just matters that it does, and Victor Arvidsson gets the reward going to the net. Now, a 4-2 game in favor of Los Angeles. At 4:07, Saros has to make a great save on Lazat. At 5:43, Campbell makes a great save on Forsberg. And then at 10:05, midway through the third, Wagner's going to the box. 2 minutes for tripping. This was Matt Duchene skating, and he is an outstanding skater and very good under control when he's got the puck. So he earns this power play by getting tripped by Wagner. And then Duchene converts on the power play with his second of the season. Josi shoots from out high. Duchene's got the jam. It goes off of Doughty's leg and then into the net. Preds had intense pressure for this entire power play, and Matt Duchene helping the power play and getting his second of the season. Now we've suddenly got a much tighter game as it's 4-3 in favor of Los Angeles. At 11:30, just a minute and 25 later, it's Colton Sissons with his second goal of the season. It's a shot from out high, and it beats Campbell due to Sissons' deflection right there in front. And like that, the Predators, who had disappeared for almost 35 minutes of this game, suddenly when the third period started, show up and have scored three goals to tie this game up at 4 apiece. There is 5 minutes to go in the game. The Nashville Predators have 14 shots on goal in the period. At 15:05, Granlund's got a great wraparound attempt. It is stopped by Campbell on the goal line. At 15:45, Iafallo hits the post, and the LA Kings almost come up with the win right here. UC Saros has to make a save on Brown in close after the post is hit. At 18:43, UC Saros comes up with another big save, but then at 19:03, Iafallo gets a shot on net, and it goes in because UC Saros bobbled the original shot. He loses the puck out to the side, and it's just sitting there for the easy jam from Iafallo. LA leading 5-4 with 57 seconds to go. Empty net goal number 6. Empty net goal number 7. And it's a final. LA wins this game 7-4 and outshoots Nashville 37-32. What it could have been if the Nashville Predators had even shown up for half of this hockey game instead of just the third period. I mean, listen, you can't show up and play 20 minutes against anyone in the NHL and take 40 minutes off and expect to get a victory. Somehow the Nashville Predators found themselves tied at 4 apiece with under a minute to go in the game, and UC Saros, the backup goaltender of the Preds, cannot hold on to a shot that he should have been able to secure. That puck leaking out, what a disaster. What a disappointment, and what a terrible moment for the Nashville Predators, who easily could have had a 3-goal comeback victory for their first road game of the year. 3-goal comebacks don't happen very often. I know, suddenly with this team, it's like, sure they do, all the time. No, they really don't. And when you come back from down 3 and then come away with 0 points, it is really just taking a knife to the balloon, just popping that thing right there. What a terrible, terrible end to this game, and disappointment for the Nashville Predators. And for Juuse Saros, he's got to be better. He absolutely has to be better. We all know it. We've all seen it. He's given up 5 goals in both of his starts this season. And I'm going to talk to Mastrodamus about it because I don't think he was particularly good in this start whatsoever. Nashville Predators, this is a wasted opportunity. You absolutely squandered. At the very least, 1 point should have been taken out of this thing. At the very least. I can't lie. Pissed me off. I try to support Juuse Saros. I understand he's supposed to be the future in net for the Nashville Predators. But if he continues to start season struggling like this, and he continues to put doubt in people's minds like this, well, then how in the world is anybody going to have the confidence 2 years from now to turn a franchise over to a guy who at this point has never started a playoff game and has had stretches early in seasons where he looks like he's not an NHL caliber goaltender? I know that he is, though, because I've seen what he can do in other parts of the season, and I've seen how dominant he can be. That's exactly where the conversation will pick up after the first break with Mastrodamus. He is the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation, and I want to know his thoughts about the performance overall and about the goal that ends up costing the Preds 2 points there in Los Angeles. Preds are in Vegas tonight. We'll finish recapping this, look over the numbers, give you the particulars after the break. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio from the Goggin Coldall Studios right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
I'm Colton Sissons of the Nashville Predators, and you are listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio. That's right, it's a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio from the Woodbine Studios. You know, when we built these new studios, I had been doing shows in our old Metro Center location for several seasons. You know how hockey players are, you know. Familiarity, we like that routine. We eat the same meals every day. I was worried when we came over here to Woodbine that things might be different, things might change. And, well, they did, but they changed for the better. I feel really good and comfortable over here. We've got our own fantastic facility. The Renegades of Puck finally have their own bunker that they can call home. So it's been a fantastic experience moving in to this brand new location right on Nolansville Road. We did that over the summer, and now transitioning fully into hockey season, I felt really, really comfortable and good on the air the first couple of weeks. No issues, no problems, and I think everything is sounding as good as it ever has. Colton Sissons bringing us back from break right there. And the other night, he had a goal in that game, and it was an important goal against the LA Kings. He also skated in 14 minutes and 11 seconds of time on ice. Here to talk to about Colton Sissons' performance and all of the individual numbers from this game. He is, of course, the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation. He's a man so far ahead in the future. He's going to tell you everything that's going to happen late tonight in Las Vegas. You can find him on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. He's always up for the interaction, and he is one of the first ever Renegades of Puck. He has been with me in this trench from the beginnings. He is Mastrodamus. How you doing today, my friend?
Charlie, doing well, ready to get a nap in before I watch that game tonight.
Naps, man, come on. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody, get a nap if you can at some point today. You're going to need it. Stay healthy. It's a long season. Look, Mosh, you're the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation, and I respect your opinion over 20 years between the pipes, and you've seen just about anything and everything that can happen out there. So I have a hell of a lot of respect for your opinion, and if I'm off base, you just go ahead and tell me I am. But Juuse Saros, the other day, he gives up 5 again, the one that ends up losing the game. I feel he could have, should have, and definitely has to secure that initial shot and not let that puck leak out for what is the eventual game loser. This game looks ugly as hell at 7-4 in the final, 2 empty netters, but the backup goaltender for the Nashville Predators, I think he gave up a softie with less than a minute to go on the road to cost the Predators at least a point when they had a 3-goal comeback.
Well, there's no doubt about it. The last goal he gave up was atrocious. I mean, that's a puck that we've seen it all the time with Pecorine, where when the puck is along the ice, he just kind of puts his glove down and it just ends up in his glove every single time. And that's what Saros seemed to want to do on that. And it just slips by. And there's, of course, you know, an easy tap in for Iafallo on that rebound. But he absolutely has to come up with that. Now, given the fact that that's a terrible goal and the timing of it, we talk about timely saves all the time on the show. The timeliness of that is what's going to get him killed across Nashville. He didn't really get a whole lot of help for 40 minutes of this game. Preds were just absolutely awful for the first 2 periods of this game. 31-12, I think the shots were through 2 periods. They didn't show up to play. I don't know if it was the time, whatever it was. They thought they could, you know, walk past the Kings no problem because the Kings are supposed to finish pretty much dead last in the Pacific Division. But you've got to be better than that. You can't show up in little segments of the game and expect to win games. And, yes, you can say, oh, we turned a switch on and we went ahead and scored three goals in the third period. Just like I said, the third period would be beneficial for them, but I didn't expect them to play like absolute garbage for 40 minutes. So, yes, Saros should have had that, should have gone at least to overtime in this game, but you can't put it all on Saros on the other night.
At the end of the night, 31 out of 37 is the official stat line. That's an .838 save percentage, and no matter how you look at it, it's bad on the season. Right now, his numbers are absolutely abysmal. We have seen him the last two seasons recover from stretches where the numbers look just like this, and unfortunately, they had gone on for a few more games than this. So we've seen him recover. We know he can recover, and we know what type of caliber goaltender he can be. Just need to see that out there on the ice. Pekka-Rinne expected to get the start, of course, tonight in Las Vegas. Let's talk about a couple of other numbers and performances first, though, before we move on from the first road game of the season in Los Angeles. Of course, Matt Duchene's going to be a huge topic on this show all season long. We're going to continue to track his stats and his numbers. He's continuing to lead the team in scoring. But Mastrodamus, what's this guy thinking, man? Is he turning into a bum on us? Only 1 point in this game, a goal, and three shots on net, and 20:07 of time on ice? I mean, I thought this guy was supposed to be one of the premier free agents in hockey.
Well, hey, yeah, how dare he only get 1 point and a fluky goal at that? It had to go off somebody's skate. I mean, come on. No, Matt Duchene, of course, continues to lead this team. And we saw what happened in the third period there. He draws a penalty and he scores a power play goal. I mean, that's what you want out of guys. That's what you pay guys top dollar for, to make plays like he did. So you can call it a fluky goal, obviously, but it doesn't happen unless he's near the front of that and he's making things happen. So, again, Matt Duchene, worth every penny up to this point. Again, it's very early on in his Predators career, only, you know, five games in, but he's been absolutely fantastic. He's been driving that 1B line, I'll call them right now, with Granlund and Forsberg. And look, I mean, you telling me that anybody else on this roster could do what he does, you're seeing a little bit more as we go on further and further into his Predator career, that he does things that no other Predator in the past or present has been able to do. Johansson, awesome center, awesome 1A, 1B center combination right there. Johansson is a different type of player than Duchene, though. Duchene uses his talent, uses his skating ability to get space. Johansson, obviously a fantastic distributor of the puck and a great pivot man for Arvidsson and Forsberg for a couple seasons. But Duchene just does different things out there and uses his speed and his talent to get things done.
Mosh, he's not even comfortable yet. He's just now five games in, playing off natural and given athletic ability and instincts at this point with Forsberg and Granlund, and clearly they have natural chemistry once they get to know each other even better. By the 10-game mark, by the 20-game mark, I'm going to, I think, be even more impressed with what I see by that point than what I'm seeing at this point in the season. So through five games, it's been highly impressive. Now, something I do want to talk about from this last game. I like the Jam. You know how much I like the Jam. You know how much Coach Peter Laviolette likes the Jam. And the Preds, frankly, they were bringing it. Arvidsson, Duchene, Granlund, Sissons, all with goals from right in and around the net and showing what going to the net and good traffic can do. So, Mosh, for the Nashville Predators, through five games, it's been a nice trend. They have really been working the top of that crease, and they've been getting in there, not just getting deflections, not just getting rebounds, but setting some outstanding screens. For the Preds in this early part of the season, that's a trend that I really, really like, and I hope that it continues.
Big difference than what we've seen in previous seasons with Peter Laviolette, and yes, now the NHL nowadays is all about puck possession and working the Corsi and all the other stuff going on where you control the game through puck possession and get shots on net. The problem was for a long time with Peter Laviolette was you get all that puck possession, you're cycling the puck down low, and you get shots from the point with nobody in front of the net to do anything with it. So that's been the big problem for the Preds for the last several seasons, is not enough people going near the front of the net and paying that price to be up front. Sissons, we saw with Watson on the first game of the season against Minnesota, get to the front of the net, make things uneasy for the opposite goaltender out there, and you're going to score some goals. And we've seen they've been a juggernaut offensively so far this season through five games. We'll see what Duchene can continue to provide. Is he an 85-point guy? We'll soon find out. He hasn't hit that in his career, but so far, so good in that aspect.
We will continue tracking each and every one of those numbers as the season goes along. You know how much we enjoy tracking the historical stuff. Mostradamus, let's talk about this Vegas Golden Knights team. First time the Preds will see them this regular season. First of three, their only trip out to Las Vegas. So enjoy the show, and gladly only one time. But we all know Mark Stone, the huge addition to Vegas over the last time the Nashville Predators had to deal with this team that was already a pretty highly effective offensive squad. But Stone, 4 goals, 5 assists, 9 points. So for the former Ottawa centers in the distribution draft last year, Stone goes to Vegas. Duchesne ends up here in Nashville eventually. And these two guys are just killing it in the early part of the season. But Mark Stone, a big, strong right winger. And you can expect he's going to have something to do with the scoring tonight. So talk to me about why this Vegas team is so effective on the offensive side of things. And then we'll talk about the defense and goaltending after.
Vegas obviously plays a little bit of a more old school type game. I mean, they are physical no matter what line is out there. Obviously, we know about that fourth line. When you got guys like Ryan Reeves, Nosek, and William Carrier at that, we were familiar with Carrier. If he sounds familiar, he's the guy that elbowed Ryan Johansson a couple seasons ago and didn't get penalized for it, nor suspended for it. So remember that one for tonight as well. But this team, no matter who's out there, Mark Stone, big, physical, tough guy. That was one of the guys in the offseason Preds would have loved to have on their roster, but it was all about Matt Duchesne and getting a center out there. So Mark Stone was in fantastic for them. Obviously, he got his mega contract with them, 8-year contract, $9.5 million per season. Huge addition for that franchise. Max Pacioretty, obviously from Montreal roots, he's been fantastic for them as well early on in the season when it looked like he was going to be demoted to the third line thanks to the emergence of Cody Glass as well. So Pacioretty has been great so far this season. Paul Stastny also, he's a guy that's kind of rotating between second and third lines. William Karlsson, Mr. 40-goal scorer from two seasons ago, he's still on the roster, obviously. So there's a lot of talent on this team. Riley Smith, of course, has been great. Marchessault, a little smaller player but speedy guy, tends to be a little bit kind of like a Brad Marchand type. Again, it gets under your skin. Incredibly offensively talented as well. And they've managed to have defense, pretty good defense, considering that they don't really have a whole lot of name guys out there. Shea Theodore has been great for them, particularly on the power play. Braden McNabb, the ex-LA King. A lot of guys on this roster that you don't tend to hear about. I mean, Nick Holden, John Merrill. There's not a whole lot of top-name guys on defensively, but their structure defensively has been great. And Marc-Andre Fleury just continues to do what he's always done since 2005, and that's just play fantastic goaltending in between the pipes. Remember it. That's the guy that got drafted number one overall in the 2003 draft when it was in Nashville. So he's still doing what he's doing at 34 years old.
Vegas has scored 24 goals already through 6 games. They've given up only 14 defensively. You just mentioned it there, performing at a higher level than people expected. And Derek Englund, watch out for him. 12 penalty minutes. He's averaging 17.55 time on ice per game. He does have 11 shots on net, but he is a big, strong, physical player, and he complements the rest of the style that Mosh was just talking about right there. So Vegas is not an easy team to play against, and you've got to tie your skates tight and hold on to your stick and be ready to go from the time the puck drops, or else you will be physically embarrassed, and then you will be embarrassed on the scoreboard. This team has a chance, and at any time, to put up a lot of goals. After all, they are averaging 4 goals per game so far on this NHL season. Mostradamus, one piece of Preds history before I let you go this morning. I was having some fun. We were having a discussion the other night, and this is just kind of because we got a long day and we got things we can be YouTubing to help us stay awake. We were joking the other night in the Mighty Drunks locker room, and we were talking a little Preds history, and it came up, the famous Thomas Vokoun versus Mika Kiprusoff fight at center ice. I want to get your memories and recollections on this particular moment in Preds history. And I'll set it up very quickly. It was at the very end of a game, and a magnificent player who had a great reputation as being a good guy in the league, Christoph Oliwa, was put out there on the last faceoff with about a second and a half to go in the game. And wow, can you believe it? It turned into a 6-on-6 line brawl with Barry Trotz jumping up onto the bench and even attempting to engage with the Calgary Flames head coach. It was a late night in 2004. Nostradamus, and I think it might be the only goalie fight in Nashville Predators history, and it left Captain Greg Johnson bloodied, standing there at center ice, getting the amount of penalties listed. Nostradamus, it's a unique moment in Nashville Predators hockey history, and for those that don't remember, it's easy to find. We tweeted the link out on our Twitter feed at Predneck Nation, so check that out. But Nostradamus, Vokoun versus Kiprasov, all tipped off by Christoph Oliwa. What do you remember about that night?
Names I have not heard in quite some time. Christoph Oliwa. I remember the game because it just seemed like Flames were gooning it up very late in that game and didn't like what the Preds were doing. But you got to love Barry Trotz. I mean, as much as we've given him grief in the past about how he's ultra-conservative and even if he went to Washington, he's going to make Ovechkin a 20-goal scorer instead of a 50-goal scorer. The guy has intensity out there, and I've been on the ice with him too. He is a great guy, but man, don't get on his bad side. He will, no doubt about it, if people didn't hold him back, he was ready to go jump the boards and get some fisticuffs in there as well. But you don't expect a guy like Thomas Vokoun to get in there with him. Mika Kiprasov, besides Pekka, was one of the top Finnish goaltenders in NHL history. So it was great to watch. And again, it's one of those early Predators memories where if you weren't a hockey fan, you see something like that, like, damn, let me get some tickets. I want to see that happen again. Now, that doesn't always happen, obviously. It happens very rarely. But it's one of those things where when you have things like that happen, and I said it years and years ago, if there was one Predator over the first 10 years of the Predators organization that had a whole lot of pull as far as his contract goes, it was a guy like Jordan Tootoo, because the fans absolutely loved what he brought to the table. And early on, you weren't worried about winning a Stanley Cup. You were worried about maybe making the playoffs once in a while. A guy like him brings so much energy and that intensity out there that people will pay to see them. So I think that's a great moment in Fred's history. You can look back and laugh at it now, but good stuff from 2004.
And that was Jordan Tootoo's first road trip to Calgary in the NHL as a Nashville Predator. Scott Hartnell, I don't know what it is, but he looked so happy and comfortable out there in the middle of a good 6-on-6. It's not a line brawl like it used to be back in the 70s, but it was a 6-on-6 go, and a lot of guys dropping the gloves and throwing punches. So a unique moment in Nashville Predators history, and you know, when you host a hockey show, sometimes you find yourself having conversations about things like that. So with Nostradamus here, definitely wanted to bring that up and talk that up. And stick taps to Jim Chandler and Jeremy Gover and all them guys for bringing that stuff up and having that conversation the other night. It's always fantastic to sit around in a locker room and talk pucks with the boys. Right, Mosh?
Absolutely. And isn't it amazing that over all those years, Scott Hartnell's hair still hasn't changed?
Man, I wish I could say the same for the rest of us. I really wish I could. He's on Twitter at GreekOli35. I appreciate you bringing me back. I was really angry at the beginning of the segment. I'm still very upset, but you got to put things in perspective on what's happening. We broke it down. We gave you the numbers. We gave the analysis. And then we had a little bit of fun talking Preds history and goalie fights. So, Nostradamus, we'll be doing this again on Thursday. We'll wrap up this Preds and Vegas Golden Knights game, and we'll preview the Arizona Coyotes. They're not off to a very good start, so we'll get your thoughts on that team when we get back here on Thursday morning. Appreciate you today, my friend.
Charlie, anytime. And just one more shout out to our fellow Renegade of Puck, Dan Bradley. Congratulations to him and his lovely bride on their first child together. Dan, we love you, man. Congratulations on being a father.
Nostradamus beat me to it right there. I was going to come back in the third period and talk about all that stuff. Now, he's good. I should have mentioned it right off the top of the show. He's absolutely right. Congratulations. A new Renegade of Puck. As a matter of fact, we have increased the Renegades of Puck. Nostradamus, Dan Bradley. Man, you guys are you're doing good work out there in the world. Keep going and keep doing your things, man. But congrats, Dan. Yesterday morning, we got the text message. We saw the tweet, and we're all incredibly, incredibly happy for those guys. And, you know, they're great friends, not only Renegades of Puck, and they're not only people that work with me here at the radio station with Nostradamus, but they are incredible, incredible friends as well. So very, very happy for those guys. Listen, I'm Crazy Charlie Saunier. You can find me on Twitter at CrazyCharlie615. I don't give you analysis, statistics. I don't really even talk hockey. It's just a chance for you to get to know me a little bit and interact a little bit, because Twitter.com does not pay me for my analysis. Nashville Sports Radio does, and that's why you can listen to it here on Predneck Nation Radio each and every game day, live at 5 a.m. Encore presentations at 6. I'll give you a little rundown on that schedule coming up, because I got the text message yesterday telling me when we're getting those Encore presentations. We're very excited. We'll talk about that next right here, Predneck Nation Radio, the third period coming up.
I'm Pete Weber of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Oh, welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio. Pete Weber. In the end, Pete Weber may go down as one of the greatest renegades of puck in history. You guys know the story. You know my history. If it wasn't for that dude right there who just brought us back from break, there would be no Predneck Nation Radio. There'd be no Renegades of Puck. That dude right there, he stepped out on a limb for me a long time ago. When I first came to this town, I didn't know a single person. I went down to the event level at Bridgestone Arena because I thought that might be a good place to glad hand. And so I started glad handing reporters and broadcasters and news personalities and anyone and everyone that I could when I first moved here to Middle Tennessee. I was just a lonely broadcasting student in my third junior year at Middle Tennessee State University, and I was working the event level, shaking hands and trying to make something happen for when I was going to get out of Middle Tennessee State University with that coveted and amazing broadcasting degree, which I am using right now, right here on Nashville Sports Radio from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, hosting Predneck Nation Radio. I also use that degree to make a living and have for many, many years now. But Pete Weber was the only one of any of those people to actually listen to what I had to say and step out and say, "You know, maybe you should call this guy Jonathan Schaefer. He's running a radio station over at ESPN 106.7 The Fan for Cumulus Media here in town. Tell him I sent you." I did that right away. And guess what? I got an interview. And then I got an internship. College graduate, sometimes you got to go back and start over. So I started as an intern, and you know how quickly I worked my way up through the ranks. I continue working my way up through this market today. That was many, many years ago, and Pete Weber was the guy who stepped up, gave me that first opportunity, gave me that first connection here in Nashville, and I thank him each and every time I see him for that opportunity. The story is old now. I mean, it's historic. It's legendary. It's Pete Weber gave me an opportunity to get started on the radio here in Nashville. Other people have given me breaks at other times, but none of that would have happened in this town if it hadn't been for Pete Weber. After calling a game, stopping talking to me and giving me a name and a phone number that would eventually lead to my first job. And then, of course, you know, Jonathan Schaefer would end up over here as my co-host on Predneck Nation Radio after 106.7 The Fan collapsed, went out of business. I also would work with Pete Weber on Slapshot Radio for several seasons, also with Paul McCann. That's right. Thanks, Paul. So that's my little backstory right there. I don't really know why I spun off into that. Pete Weber brought us back from break, and I just thought I should retell that story. You know, once or twice a year, I like to go back and tell that. So whenever I see that guy, I'm always highly appreciative. I mean, it is Pete freaking Weber. He is a legend, not just here as a Nashville Predators broadcaster, but in the broadcasting industry. I mean, Buffalo, Nashville, Los Angeles, he's been there, he's done that, and when people used to try to refer to me as Little Pete as some kind of insult, they have no idea what a compliment that truly is, because if I have even half the career that Pete Weber has had and half the impact that Pete Weber has had in this town, well, then I will go on to become a Hall of Famer and a legend myself. I'm going to be a Hall of Famer, and I'm most certainly a legend. The Declaration of Bean Dependence itself secured that. I mean, who else can commit career suicide and disappear for 9 days and then still come back, get a rebranding, and become the leader of the Renegades of Puck? That's when hockey trench warfare truly started, by the way. The day that I let out Declaration of Bean Dependence. Don't ask. Mostradamus will probably post the pictures or something. They don't do it justice. You guys will never truly know what happened that night down there on 2nd Avenue, the night that I disappeared. Wow, man. Man, we are spinning everywhere. My megalomania must be kicking in because I have suddenly made this thing 1,000% about myself. Let's get back to talking about the show itself. Hey, before the break, I did say I had a schedule for our encore presentation. So, you know, we're live at 5 on all game days right here on Nashville Sports Radio, Predneck Nation Radio, the Renegades of Puck. We're always here. Home days, road days, weekends, and we'll try to be here on holidays too. But, you know, sometimes we actually have to go do other things like hang out with our families and, you know, things like that. Anyway. The next three Thursdays, we will have encore presentations at 6 in the afternoon on the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. So we found a hole in the schedule and a nice consistent one, so we're very appreciative and thankful. Not only of Johnny Ballpark Frank's, he's giving up an hour of his radio show, and also Jay Henson giving up an hour of their time slot, but also the support of Nashville Sports Radio and management in general. For those of you who don't know, Adam Johnson has become the operations manager here in the last couple of years, and since he's taken over, new station vehicle, new studios, new hosts, new microphones, new equipment, new broadcast towers. Man, listen, we are really doing things and we're building things. And I know that you guys have followed along. You've been paying attention. And you know what? After 25 years of being in business, Nashville Sports Radio has never sounded as good as it sounds today. And I'm so appreciative to have the longest running show on the station at this point and to have bought in from the very beginning. When we were at a low point, I was the first one brought back, and this show was the first one brought in to start rebuilding. And now we have a killer lineup here all day and night long. We've got some great syndication. We've got some outstanding games. We've got a lot of good things going on over here. Predneck Nation Radio going to be here each and every game day live at 5 and those encore presentations at 6. The Nashville Predators getting back into it. They are on the road tonight. Second road game of the year on the season. They've played 5 games. They're 3-2. Their first road game did not go well. It ended up being a 7-4 loss in Los Angeles. They've scored 23 goals in the season. Impressive, but the team they're going up against tonight has scored 24 goals in the season at home. Are 2-1. The Las Vegas Golden Knights, the first of 3 regular season meetings between these two teams. They are quickly becoming rivals because they've been near the tops of the Western Conference the last couple of seasons. Well, since Las Vegas Golden Knights were born. The next time we'll see this team is here at Bridgestone Arena, and it'll be on November the 27th, then again on February the 1st. In the NHL, somewhat of a busy Tuesday night. Minnesota's in Toronto. That's a Central Division game. You want to watch out for that. Tampa Bay is at Montreal. Arizona's at Winnipeg. That'll give us all a chance to check out Arizona before the Preds go and play them in their next game. Philly is at Calgary. Detroit is at Vancouver. And the night closes out with Carolina in Los Angeles. Remember, Rocco Grimaldi was listed as day-to-day on the most recent injury report, so we'll have to see how that affects the Nashville Predators roster moving to tonight. I anticipate Cale Yarncroak will get a third opportunity on that first line. And after 3 games, that is enough to determine if it should continue going on as an experiment. I expect we'll see a couple of different players rotated into that spot. And eventually, if Tolvanen is ready to come up to the NHL, that is possibly a spot that's being held for him. But the Predators cannot just sit back and leave one of their top 6 wing spots open and non-productive until Tolvanen is ready. The middle of the season, the back part of the season, we don't know when. So the Nashville Predators got to find a permanent plug, at least to get through to when that next great young star is going to come up and enter the Nashville Predators full time. For the Preds, I mentioned it, tonight Vegas, Thursday Arizona, that closes the road trip, Saturday back home against Florida, and then Anaheim, Minnesota also on that home stand. Wow, Crazy Charlie Sonia here, your host and captain, the canary in the hockey coal mine. An hour has come and gone and just absolutely flown by. That happens when you start gas bagging about yourself and letting your ego run wild on the radio. Appreciate each and every one of you for indulging in my backstory and having a little fun with some Preds history. Mostradamus, of course, was absolutely outstanding, as he always is, and you'll continue to hear him all season long right here on Predneck Nation Radio in the second period. Fantastic analysis from each and every one of the Renegades of Puck, and we're working on a couple of things, maybe some surprises coming up in the next couple of shows. I don't know. We'll see what happens right there. At CrazyCharlie615, if you have any interest in following me, interacting with me, and having a little fun on Twitter, please let's do that. At Predneck Nation is how you can find the show. PredNation.com redirects you to WNSR.com, which gets you all the information about the show live at 5 on game days. The WNSR app always there and free for you to download. WNSR.com. Get yourself some Renegades of Puck merchandise. Also, some new merch coming in the next couple of days. Renegades of Puck, you're going to have an opportunity to pick up a cool new t-shirt, stripe design and print, doing another great job. That's who put out all of our merch and logos, and they are working on some new cool stuff for each and every one of you. Crazy Charlie Saunier for the Renegades of Puck, each and every one of you. And remember, it's simple. You got the fire, you got the fury, you got the passion, you love the glorious game of hockey, and you're staying up past midnight tonight to watch the Nashville Predators. I certify you right now, right here on these airwaves, a Renegade of Puck.